Welcome to Cottage Talk, and this is the Player Ratings Show. This episode, we'll be going through the player ratings of Ryan O'Donovan from Football.London. I'll be sharing his ratings along with his commentary from the Chelsea match for the Fulham players. My co-host, Max Cohen, will be reacting to his ratings and sharing his own and his commentary as well. We have much to get through in the player rating show, but before we do anything else, I'd like to welcome back Max to the show. Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Russ. Just really need this midweek victory tomorrow night, but you know I'm confident Claudio and the boys can get us a result.
I am as well, and we will have a preview show. Just want to mention, thank you. That's a great segue to talk about that we will have a preview show. But we have one last show to do, my friend, before we look forward to the big Leicester City match. We still have to talk about the players in a little bit more detail. We've done two shows. This is the third one. It's the player rating show. So let's get to it, my friend, and let's look at the player ratings for the match against Chelsea with the Fulham players, and I'm going to use, as always, the player ratings from Ryan O'Donovan, Football.London. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Sergio Rico, Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 6, and this is what he wrote, my friend. Made a few decent saves over the course of the first 45 minutes and continued that into the second half. Another good display from the keeper. 6. Do you agree or disagree? Before I get your answer, I disagree. I think you should give him at least a 7. Your thoughts?
I'm going to agree with Ryan here. I think a 6 is fair. I thought he made a number of good saves. I think the save from Giroud when he got done well to stop that ball from going through his legs off the low cross, that was good. But the reason I don't think it's a 7 is because he conceded 2 goals. And to be fair, I just think, you know, I don't think he should have saved either of them, maybe, but I think he could have done more, honestly. I think for the Loftus-Cheek one, I think he probably should have actually cut off the angle there for that second goal. I think Loftus-Cheek probably too easy of a job there to slot that through. And then for the Pedro goal, for me, he just doesn't come off his line. He just kind of stands there. And while obviously it's not a knock on Rico, I think they're both very tough shots to save. I feel like maybe he could have done a little bit more. But I think a 6 is fair. He made some good saves throughout. But to be fair, he wasn't necessarily peppered with opportunities. He didn't have to make too many saves.
No.
I think that's going to show to us when we talk on later how well the defensive midfield probably did.
Okay, we will be getting to that. Let's now go and talk about left back Maxime Le Marchand. Again, Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 6. Did a reasonable job at left back during the game and continued that throughout the second half. Wasn't anything about average, but it was decent from Le Marchand. Was sucked into the middle that gave Loftus-Cheek space for his goal. Your thoughts on a 6?
Yeah, that's what I was going to point out with Loftus-Cheek goal. Le Marchand is probably at fault there. That's probably his one major knock because I couldn't really think of anything else he did wrong all afternoon, honestly. I thought he was very solid. And you know, he's keeping Joe Bryan out of the team. So I think 6.5 maybe would be a good score for him. And obviously Claudio Ranieri rates him. And if you're keeping Joe Bryan out of the team, and that's probably a good sign. So I think Le Marchand is doing well to justify his place.
I think Saul is a great word to describe the play of Le Marchand lately. I understand that I might have gone a little bit higher, but I do see the reasoning behind the 6. All right, let's now talk about Cyrus Christie. Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 7. I agree with this rating. This is what he wrote. Had a decent game at right back. Did well against a lackluster Marcus Alonso in the first 45 minutes. Got forward more in the second half, but couldn't deliver the killer cross. I agree with the rating, and I actually think he outplayed Alonso. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he outplayed Alonso. And one man we got to mention is Eden Hazard.
Yes.
And sure, he fouled him a bunch of times. The most important thing is he got tight. I think he got in Hazard's head. He kind of, you know, he was never granted enough space, except maybe for that last goal. But I thought Christie, a player who we've seen struggle so much in the Premier League, his improvement over the past couple weeks has been immense. So I'd even say 7.5. I thought he was excellent. And, you know, we've seen reports in recent weeks kind of linking Nathaniel Clyne, possibly, for a loan move to Fulham. And I'm thinking, listen, I'd love Nathaniel Clyne at Fulham, but the resurgence of Cyrus Christie, do we even need Nathaniel Clyne? I'd rather focus on other parts of our defense. That's kind of, that thing would have been absurd to say, you know, just a couple of weeks ago when Christie, Fosu-Mensah were looking terrible. But I think the performance against Chelsea and certainly one against Southampton and Liverpool shows Christie's really making leaps and bounds. So I'm going to say 7.5. It was a very good display.
Well, very interesting thought I want to pose to you. I might have mentioned this to you before. Mike Gregg has mentioned the potential. He's just thinking out loud of using Cyrus Christie right wing.
Yeah, I think he has pace, and that's what I think his dribbling is actually quite good. We saw that in Southampton. He has a nice turn of pace and nice touches when he's doing that. But the crossing just isn't there. That's my only knock on him. Is that
fair point?
I don't think he has any attacking instincts, honestly. In terms of, we saw the ball against Southampton when Sassuolo flicked it onto Mitrovic. That's the one good cross I've seen from Christie all season. Perhaps in his entire career as a Fulham player, he just does not have that in his locker. And I mean, that's not necessarily an insult. It's just he's just not a crosser of the ball. It's unfortunate because his game could be so much more dangerous if he could put in a good service. But he just has not done that. And I think he's taken a bunch of shots from distance. I think he might have scored against Millwall in the Cup, but I haven't seen anything in the Premier League to suggest he could be a consistent goal scorer on the right wing.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. Let's move on. Let's talk about the two center backs together. First, I'll give you Dennis Adoy. Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 5, and this is what he wrote. Played a really poor pass to Seri in the build-up to Chelsea's first goal. We actually talked about that in the post-match. You know? Had a poor first half and struggled to pass the ball out. Improved somewhat in the second half, but still looked suspect. Ryan O'Donovan gives Alfie Mawson a 6, and this is what he wrote about him. Another good display at center half from Mawson, who was strong in the tackle and good in the air. He continued that in the second half and continued to look good on the ball. All right, your thoughts on Ryan's ratings, 5 for Adoy and 6 for Mawson.
I think 5 is actually a little bit low because, as I mentioned in the post-match yesterday, you cannot blame the situation on Adoy, I don't think. I think that's completely on John McKelsey because if you're a top-class center midfielder, you have to know how to turn or you have to know how to play the ball back under pressure. Apart from that one pass that led to the first goal, you could say, I don't think Adoy made many mistakes at all. He got a booking just because he kicked Azpilicueta after that Callum Chambers header off the corner. That was funny. But I don't think he made any high-profile mistakes. I think a 6 would be the correct rating. And for Mawson, if anything, I'd give Mawson a lower rating. Because if we're going to point fingers at the center backs for that first goal from Pedro, I think it's Mawson because he just allows Pedro to cut back in the middle so easily. I think that aspect is almost missed out of the analysis of that first goal because everyone's focused on the Adoy-Seri connection. But when you're one-on-one with Pedro, I get it's a difficult position. But Mawson, for me, the one thing you should not be doing is letting him cut back inside. You have to force the attacker wide. And in the end, he came off looking pretty flat-footed. So if anything, I'd give Mawson a 5 and Adoy a 6.
Okay. Back to Adoy. I'm curious your thoughts on this. I've been thinking about this. Do you think that he gets more criticism because he doesn't fit the type of a center back?
I do think he probably gets more criticism. I don't know if it's because of that reason. It might just be because we just associate Dennis Adoy with a player who isn't Premier League quality. I still think it's astounding that this is now probably a first-choice center back pairing, and everyone thought Dennis Adoy would probably be off in the summer. Just people don't necessarily think he's a Premier League defender.
Okay.
And whether that's true or not, I have no idea. I mean, he's playing in the Premier League. I think he's doing quite well. But I think people still associate him with, you know, those rash kind of like runs forward, poor challenges, bad marking. When in reality, he's cut a lot of that out of his play in recent weeks.
Right. The reason why I bring this up, because physically, he doesn't fit the bill. And that's why I was thinking that maybe people look at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. He's not your Alfie Mawson, you know. But he can jump, I think, higher than most center backs, which we saw from the header against Derby, right? That's massive. But yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think he's done a nice job, and he wasn't my first choice, but I just wanted to give him a little credit for all the criticism that I see in him get. I think he's doing a decent job, and he obviously doesn't look the part because of his size. But like you mentioned, Max, he has the ability to jump. I think he makes up for that in other ways. So I just want to talk a little bit about that. All right, my friend, let's talk about the man of the match for me, and I believe you as well, Callum Chambers. Ryan O'Donovan gives him an 8. I agree with that. This is what he wrote. Did well in a central midfield role and saw a lot of the ball. Was better defensively than he was going forward. Grew into the game and performed extremely well in the second half for his side. All right, Max. I agree with the rating. I also agree that he doesn't naturally look good moving forward, and I think that will get better over time. This is a new role for him, but he deserves the 8.
Oh, for sure. And I think the attacking thing is the one that drew the headlines for me, because you just don't expect it out of him.
No.
But he was our best attacking threat. He had by far the most shots of any foreign player. He was the only one who looked likely to score. Honestly, that's impressive. But I'm going to go back to the defensive point. And I just got a tweet, a comment to our latest post-match show from Ian Leggett.
Yep.
And I think it's an amazing point. And this is kind of connects the center backs to Callum Chambers. And he says, Ranieri seems to recognize in this league any combination of the club's back four needs the protection a 4-2-3-1 gives. And Callum Chambers, as one of those central defensive midfielders in that 4-2-3-1, is vital. I think that might even be the biggest point here for the way we've looked more solid in recent weeks, is that we have that 4-2-3-1. We have those two center midfielders sitting in front of the back four, which in turn allows Adoyin Mawson to have the opportunity to make less mistakes because they're not so exposed all the time.
Right.
And Chambers, yeah, exactly. He's a perfect man, I think, to do that. He was all over the place against Southampton and also against Chelsea, covering almost every blade of grass in the pitch and also, you know, making some excellent challenges and also going forward. So he's my man of the match, as he is yours. And I think an 8 is a good rating for him.
Okay, excellent. All right, this one's puzzling. I think, obviously, he was added at the last minute. Stefan Johansson, because of the injury to Andre Schürrle. Lionel Dublin gives him a 4. I agree with that rating. This is what he wrote. Was hardly involved in the game during the first 45 minutes at Stamford Bridge and was subbed at halftime for Abubakar Kamara. I understand why Ranieri went with him. It just didn't work.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I agree. He was poor. He was mainly non-miss, and you know that's always a tough match to be thrown into when you haven't played in a while. So I think a 4 is fair.
And not that he played Andre Schürrle's role, but I think that was the substitution at the last minute. Would you agree with that, Max?
Yeah, I think – well, because I don't necessarily agree he'd play Andre Schürrle's role because
– No. I don't think he played Schürrle's role, but I think that when Schürrle couldn't go, I think Johansson was added.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's true. One thing I would say about Ranieri in this situation is I think he changed the formation from a 4-2-3-1 to the diamond and the 4 when he found out Schürrle couldn't play. That's what I think. And okay. Then put Johansson in because he thought he could play more centrally.
Yeah, that's what I thought happened.
Yeah, but I don't understand why – this is just my question. Obviously, Ranieri has his reasons, but why didn't he just stick with a 4-2-3-1, play the attacking midfield 3 – I see it in the second half, and take out Schürrle and play either Kamara, Aite, or Cabano. Obviously, those aren't necessarily their preferred right-wing positions, but
right. He
obviously showed faith in those players to make an impact in the second half. I would have loved to see Kamara from the off, you know, on Sunday, rather than the diamond formation that basically that wasn't that effective. You know, we love the 4-2-3-1 now, and I think Kamara would have been brilliant in that all match.
Well, he explained why he went with a diamond formation. It just didn't work. And then, credit to him, he changed it. Okay, excellent, my friend. All right, John Michael Seri. This is what he wrote, talking about Ryan O'Donovan. Caught too easily in possession by Conte for Chelsea's first goal. Endured in an extremely poor first half and looked a yard off everything. Improved a bit in the second half, but didn't really have much influence. 5. Your thoughts?
I mean, I agree with everything, honestly. It's such a baffling one. I mean, we've talked about him a lot, but it's just – I'm not seeing an improvement. It's not even been that new manager bounce under Sarri.
No.
And it's I honestly have no idea if he'll keep his starting place once Anguissa or McDonald come back. I do not know. Honestly, I think Ranieri would be tempted to play 2 defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
I think that might suit his style better. So I could easily see Anguissa – Chambers or even McDonald Chambers at the expense of Sarri, and I don't really think many people have a problem with that, which is remarkable to say because we all
strange to say.
Strange to say. But I think it's the right decision.
Yeah.
He was off the pace is the phrase I'd most associate with him. And that's pretty remarkable because he's not a player who should be off the pace, but he is. And you know, the giveaway, we've all talked about the giveaway. That's just inexcusable. But you know, it's also inexcusable. The corners, not clearing the first man. professional footballers should.
No, they haven't been good either. I'm glad you're bringing that up.
And to be fair, he had a couple of decent ones to Chambers that got off headers, but even one is too many. And it's Ranieri, I'm sure, is hammering how important set pieces should be. And if he can't get that right, that's worrying. So that indicates to me a larger loss of confidence in form, and you just do not like to see that.
Okay, excellent, my friend. All right, let's now go and talk about Tom Kearney. Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 7. This is what he wrote. Was Fulham's best player in the first half. He was comfortable on the ball in the final third and looked to make things happen when in possession. Quietened down in the second, but it was an encouraging display from the skipper. I agree with all of that. Your thoughts on Kearney and the 7?
Yeah, I think it's – I might honestly go 6.5 because I thought he was influential, but, again, not completely dominating as we expect, you know, from Kearney, our captain. And I think that's true because he had the injury probably is still affecting him. You know, he was substituted with around 20 minutes ago, probably saving him for the Leicester match. But, yeah, I'd say 6.5, 7 is a fair rating.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's now talk about Ryan Sessegnon. Ryan O'Donovan gave him a 5. Started up front but struggled to impact the game before being pulled out wide to give Fulham some width. Was hauled off at halftime by Ranieri. It just didn't work for Ryan Sessegnon against Chelsea for whatever reason. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the formation didn't do him any favors. You know, as Ryan mentioned, yeah, he just didn't have an impact. And at the end of the day, he didn't really have time to make an impact. I think he could have had a very big impact in that second half, but, you know, it wasn't to be. I think he'll come back to Leicester City match really determined to prove his worth.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's talk about Mitro, Alexander Mitrovic. Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 5, and this is what he wrote. Did reasonably well as the target man and brought down some nice balls, but struggled with the defensive pressing side of the game at the bridge. He battled well with David Luiz and probably won most of the duels between the two. Struggled to get the service he needed to do anything up top, however. The last part is the part that bothers me, my friend, because, again, he needs service, and we need to be getting the ball for him to be more effective. I like what Ryan wrote there, but I think part of this is his teammates not getting him more involved. Your thoughts on the 5?
Yeah. Completely true, because we've seen what he can do when he gets service. I mean, the Southampton match, I've said it a lot. He didn't have too many opportunities, but he scored 2 goals because he's just so lethal when presented with them. And I'm really struggling to think of a clear goal-scoring chance he had against Chelsea, which on one hand is understandable because you're playing a top-4 team away from home. But on the other hand, if you don't have any chance of getting any points or a win out of these matches, you need to give your star striker a chance. And it's telling that Callum Chambers had our most dangerous shots, not Mitrovic. So not really his fault entirely, but I think a 5 has to be fair because he just did not have the chances.
Okay, how concerned are you, Max, as we're talking about Alexander Mitrovic, as we get closer to the January transfer window? Do you agree that we need another striker?
At first, I thought you were going to ask me if he was going to leave, if he's going to be sold. And then that's a good turn. Do we need another striker? I think yes, because what Ranieri's indicated to me is that he doesn't rate Vieto at all. You know, he hasn't even been in the squad, I don't think, for this match he wasn't. I don't think he was in the Southampton match. So Vieto, the other person who I speculated might have played up top with Mitrovic in a 4-4-2 formation, right. Both of those things have seemed completely out of the question now. So I think he will favor another striker, but does that mean he'll play 4-4-2? Does that mean he'll have another option to bring off the bench? I don't know. But I do think we were always a little light to start off the season in the center forward position, and that is something Ranieri would probably address. But is that our biggest problem? I'd say no. I'd say Ranieri would focus on the defense or defensive midfield before he starts going to buy another striker.
Okay, excellent there, Max. All right, let's move on from that, and let's now look at the substitutes. The substitutes made a difference, I thought, and let's look at the ratings there for them. Let's start with Floyd Ayite. Ryan O'Donovan gives him a 5. Came on to add some width to Fulham's midfield and did that without ever really getting into dangerous positions for his side. Abubakar Kamara also gets a 5. Got involved in the game more as the second half went on, and while he did well, it's a case again with Kamara that it was very hot and cold performance. And finally, Niskin Scabano ends the substitutes with five. He gets a five as well. Didn't really have an impact on the game this afternoon. So they all get fives from Ryan O'Donovan. Your thoughts?
I really don't see how you can give all those three players a five, because their performances were nothing alike, honestly. I give Ayite a five. I think that's the only one I agree with, because I think he's on for halftime, right? It's not just a last 10-minute substitution. And I'm really struggling to think what he did. And that's never a good sign, honestly. So that's kind of average. Kamara, seven. Listen, I'm a huge Kamara fan. You guys
I know you are.
But I think this is justified. I just go back to the one that one attack, I think, which ended in the chamber shot being saved, which him and Christie combined brilliantly down the wing. Kamara ended up pushing Marcus Alonso into the advertising hoardings
because
he had too much strength. And that just, to me, signified how dangerous he can be. Listen, of course, he took that wild shot from 35 yards out when the match is already gone, but he was dangerous. He gives us that dimension that no one else in this Fulham team can. And I thought he made a difference. He justified his selection coming off the bench. He's a perfect substitution, honestly, to make. So that's a seven. And Cabano, I mean, this is not knocking Cabano. I'm just going to give him a four because he was not given enough time to do anything. And I think he probably touched the ball three or four times. But he looked bright, and I'm really hoping to see him get more of a chance in the coming weeks.
Okay. Excellent there. All right, my friend, before we wrap this up, just let's review this all together. Talking point coming out of it. Out of the performances, what do you take from it? Do you learn anything going into the next match against Leicester City, which we'll be previewing soon?
I learned that we have to get Mitra involved. That's kind of the one takeaway, because I thought the defensive performance is good. Yep. But the Italian performance left stuff to be desired. But at the same time, we have to take all this with a grain of salt, considering we're playing at Chelsea. It was always going to be a very difficult match to kind of impress our will. But the moments we did, we looked bright. And that's what gives me hope, is because we can attack against the best teams. And it looks like we can also defend reasonably well against the best teams. So a home match against a team like Leicester, who's very comfortably mid-table, should present a really good chance for us to show how our defense has improved and also show how our attack can create opportunities.
Okay. One final topic. Did Fulham miss Andre Schürrle in this match, and how much of a benefit could he be against Leicester City?
I'm going to say no, honestly. I think in the Southampton match, he got his goal, and I was glad about that. But but what else did he do in that match? You know, apart from, I'll give him credit for kind of harassing Southampton center back in the lead up to Mitrovic's third winner in the third goal. That was impressive pressing by him. But honestly, he was anonymous. And that thing about Schürrle is that he's not a player who you want to come with you on a tough away day. He's a passenger. He's
driving.
So I honestly don't think it was that big of a miss. What I do think he'll do against Leicester if he starts is he does deliver a precision in that kind of 6-yard box, 18-yard box. He can finish in close ranges. He has quality. He'll take a lot of shots, but he's not really integral to the way we play. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Excellent there. Great show, Max. You did the trifecta once again. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Cheers, Ross. You know, always a pleasure. And, you know, this time we got some more positive player ratings. You know, it was a loss, but at least we're up in kind of the 5 to 7 range, and I'll take that.
Okay, I will as well. One last thing before we go. Just if you listen to Cottage Talk, there are several places that you can listen to the show. You can listen to an Apple podcast. I post the show on Cottage's confidential.sbnation. New way to listen to the show, Spotify. It's a great way to listen to the show. I listen to it in the car. It's fantastic. If you have Spotify, give us a follow. It's a great way to listen back to Cottage Talk. All right, my friend, great show, but we do have to wrap this up. For my co-host, Max Cohen, I'm Russ Cohen. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.